You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As of this morning, more than 140,000 people have been diagnosed with COVID-19 across the country. New York has been the epicenter of the surge. Emergency departments there are overstretched with patients and concerned about running out of supplies like masks and gloves for staff in the coming weeks. Illinois emergency rooms are also preparing for a wave of people coming into their hospitals because of the coronavirus. Speaking on CBS on Friday, the U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams said Chicago could be among those hotspots, along with New Orleans and Detroit. To learn more about how emergency departments here are preparing and what they've seen on the ground, we're joined by Dr. Ernest Wong, president of the Illinois College of Emergency Physicians. He's also chief of emergency medicine at North Shore University Health System in Evanston. I'm also joined by Dr. Robert Healy, chief quality officer at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Both of you, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Brian.
And joining us from Chicago is Stephanie Ioannin. She's Associate VP for the Emergency Department and Behavioral Health Services at Rush University Medical Center. Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Dr. Wong, is Illinois anticipating a surge in COVID-19 patients like we've seen in New York City?
Yes, I think we are definitely bracing for a surge, and all of the indicators point to that trajectory based on the increasing number of positives that we're seeing in the last week especially.
And that's not just I suppose that's somewhat a function of more testing, but you think it's not just a function of more testing, that this infection is really out there, becoming more prevalent?
No, we are testing more, and certainly that's adding to the prevalence and the number of people that are positive. But what we're seeing, especially at my institution in the last week, is people are coming in with more severe symptoms, and more are being admitted, and more are actually being put on ventilators. So the number of people that are getting sicker is increasing.
Well, and that kind of leads into my next question. I wondered, Dr. Wong, what does your emergency room look like in recent days?
Well, we've done a lot of prep over the last month and a half to two to make sure that we're ready. And so we've done several measures to cohort patients with respiratory illness away from patients who don't. And this has been really important for being able to safely and systematically get patients through our system, evaluated and treated.
And when you say cohort, that means, I guess, just keeping separate, right? That's
yeah. Right. So yeah. When you come to our ED, you'll be greeted by a professional who will basically ask you if you have respiratory symptoms, fever, cough, shortness of breath, or any travel history. And if you have any of those complaints, you'll go to our respiratory evaluation unit, which we built especially for this purpose at Evanston Hospital, and we've built similar areas at our other three hospitals in our system. And you'll be evaluated by a team that is specifically focused on evaluating you to determine whether you have risk for COVID-19 or have symptomatology that would lead us to want to test you. And treat you. And if you're stable and you can go home and self-quarantine, we'll discharge you. But if you are ill, we will bring you into the main ED, into an isolation room, and our ED team will take care of you there.
So, Stephanie Ioannin, I want to bring you in. I understand that Rush Hospital, we've heard about what some other hospitals are doing to sort of prepare themselves, but I understand Rush was designed to handle a pandemic. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So when the building was being designed and created, it was with the thought of if a pandemic or a bioterrorist type of event happened, the building was designed specifically to do that. Within the ED, similar to what was being described at North Shore, is we have the triage tents, which allow us to triage the patients with COVID-like symptoms, direct them one direction. If they need to get further care, we can then move them into the ED. And then if they require admission, our building, unit by unit, could be essentially what I would say flipped to a negative pressure capability. And we've since created several COVID units and where we're cohorting the patients, waiting for them to be ruled out PDYs or positive COVID in which they would receive care and stay, and if not, then rule out and move on to a non-COVID PUI type of unit.
And have you seen an uptick of coronavirus patients at Rush as well?
I think it's steady at this point. It says the IDPH is reporting we are steadily seeing an increase, but nothing out of the norm at this point.
And
our ED volume seems to be down.
It seems to be down. Interesting.
Or is down.
You know, a month or so ago when we were getting back numbers from China, we were hearing that it was mostly older people that were negatively affected by this and getting really sick. But I gather in the U.S. that's not necessarily being borne out. Stephanie, do you see younger patients at Rush, otherwise healthy people coming in there?
It's sporadic. I think our average age is still above the 60, but I can't be sure. And I know those numbers have been reported to the IDPH, so that's where we could get most of the information being correct. But most of it's being sporadic. It's not younger versus older at this point.
Okay. Dr. Healy, I want to bring you into the conversation here. Has Carl seen a surge in coronavirus patients yet?
We've definitely seen an uptick. I wouldn't call it a surge yet, but we've seen an uptick. We've had up to like 8 to 10 patients in the hospital at any one time that have the disease, with a couple of those in the ICU and on ventilators. So a few sick people as well.
And are you anticipating that number is going to go up? How are you projecting the future?
Good question. We've been working with some people from the University of Illinois on modeling. When would this community see a surge? When would this community need more ICU beds, more hospital beds? So we've been preparing this, like the other systems, prepare for this for the last 6 weeks, I'd say, or more. And we're anticipating an uptake. I think this sounds selfish, but we're thinking that Chicago's going to see it first, and they are seeing more right now. And we'll be able to learn a lot from them. But I think it's going to hit our community as well with all the travel in and out of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding communities.
Yeah. You know, and we heard about what some of the other hospitals are doing to physically prepare themselves. And Rush is, able to go negative pressure on all its units, unit by unit, I guess. Has Carl had to deal with a pandemic situation in the past?
We have back 5 years ago, when Ebola was on everyone's mind. We developed ourselves in a treatment center. So we've had a lot of plans and activities around, and especially around pandemics. We thought it would be the flu, but it turns out to be a novel coronavirus. But like the other systems, we are triaging it at our door in the ED and in the other areas where we have visitors walk through. There's limited visitors now, but when they walk through, we screen them or ask them questions. We have respiratory treatment centers, we're calling them. So a tent outside our ED, a couple of buildings, a kind of temporary building set up in front of our primary care centers in Champaign-Urbana, Mattoon, Danville. We do have our Carl Tower on campus here, which is our newest building. We didn't know this, but luckily it is able to flip to completely negative pressure rooms on most of the floors. We're cohorting patients in certain units there, having for now just certain hospitalist teams care for rule outs and positive patients. So yeah, a lot of the things that have been done in North Shore and Rush, we've also done here.
And what, in case people aren't aware, what is a negative pressure room? What does that do? How does that help contain the coronavirus?
It basically is a room that is designed such a way that all the air within the room, instead of being recirculated with the regular hospital air, it shunts to the outside through filters.
Okay, so sort of like a little bit of a vacuum feel, I guess. What does it feel like walking into one of these rooms? Would you be able to tell just walking around? Or?
Not really. It's not a huge vacuum. We do tests where on the door we'll put a piece of tissue and see if the tissue is being sucked into the doorway, and that's how we know that the negative pressure is working. But it really doesn't feel that much different.
Okay, so it's not like a vault door or anything like you see in the movies or anything like that.
Correct.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how emergency departments in Illinois are preparing for a possible uptick in COVID-19 patients. That was Dr. Robert Healy, Chief Quality Officer at Carle Hospital in Urbana. We're also speaking with Stephanie O'Hannon, Associate Vice President for the Emergency Department and Behavioral Health Services at Rush in Chicago, and Dr. Ernest Wong, Chief of Emergency Medicine at North Shore University Health System in Evanston. Dr. Wong, I want to talk about testing. Governor Pritzker said last week 15 hospital labs were able to conduct on-site testing. That includes your hospital, North Shore. But even those labs are not equipped to test everyone because we don't know how prevalent this is. Do you worry that that's putting people at risk?
Well, I think anytime you aren't able to scale up testing to the degree that meets the population, you know, you're missing out on an ability to catch pockets of positive patients that that you could potentially quarantine and prevent from spreading. And that's why South Korea's process was so effective. We were lucky at North Shore to be able to test very early on within our hospital. Our lab has been tremendous in helping us in that respect. So we were the first hospital system in the state to run our own tests. So we've actually been using our data every day going forward to be able to do these projections on what we are going to anticipate as the surge and when it might happen. So I think, you know, our limitations are swabs and reagent, and we are ramping up our testing, and it's great to hear that other systems are now running their own tests because we can't rely on the state to do it all for us. And the more we can test and work as a group, the better our communities will be.
Do you have a timeline, or are you still using the sort of state guidelines to decide who gets tested, or do you have your own protocols for deciding who gets a test?
We've created our own protocols. They do mimic what the guidelines were presented by IDPH at the from the get-go, but we have implemented a strategy where we use our immediate cares to do primary testing for people that are what we call the walking well, people that have concerns. We have a screening process through a phone hotline and a process where an e-visit through our website can be done. And through that screening process, patients will be determined whether they qualify for a test. And if they do, they'll be directed to one of our four immediate care designated COVID testing sites. And if the person on the phone who is doing the triage feels that the caller or the person on the e-visit needs immediate medical attention, they will assist them to get to the hospital.
Stephanie,
or
I wonder
to the hospital.
Sure, sure. Stephanie, I want to bring you back into the conversation. Do you are you concerned about testing?
At this point, no, we haven't experienced any issues with testing. We've done just like Dr. Wong had described, we do the exact same thing with triaging. We have two different phone lines, one for the outside, one for employees internally. Triage then dictates where they need to go as far as to get testing so that we can streamline it. I think at this point, majority of how we're seeing the tests come in is we're gathering the information, and depending if it's employee or patient, gathering the information, and then most of the time, if they're stable, sending them home and referring them to self-isolate at this point.
Self-isolate, yeah. And Dr. Healy, I wonder, at Carle, what needs to happen in order to make it possible for Carle and labs across the state to really ramp up testing to meet the huge need right now?
So at Carle, we're doing testing as well in our own lab. We just started that a few days ago. But as Dr. Wong mentioned, the reagent for the testing, the supplies are really the bottleneck. So we work with the state to get as many supplies as we can and with our vendors. But, you know, agree that we need to do more testing, and that's how we'll know what the true nature of this disease is. Is it widespread in our community? Well, it is widespread in our community because we see a lot of cases, but how widespread is it, and what's the pattern here. You mentioned earlier, are we going to mirror the other countries where the older and sicker patients are the ones hit hardest? We think that's going to happen, but testing will help us decide that.
And we've only got a couple minutes left. Dr. Wong, I want to ask, we've been hearing out of New York that medical staff there are running out of supplies. Is Illinois anywhere near facing shortages like that?
I think we have to be very cognizant of the fact that, yes, depending on where you are and depending on your supply chain and how you're able to get equipment, I think that is a very big concern. And I really think that we need to help all of our health systems around the state to be able to access the PPE that they need. It is the number one goal for us to make sure that our providers have the PPE they need to take care of our patients. Because if we don't get our providers PPE and they get sick, we will not be able to sustain care for the patients that come in.
And Stephanie, just a few seconds left, Bear, but has staff at Rush also concerned with a lack of masks or gloves or ventilators?
Not at this point concerned. We're just being extra vigilant and making sure we're providing all the PPE that's required for all staff to provide care at this point. So that's something we have not experienced, but it's something we constantly review twice a day. Where are we at? Our vendors are working feverishly with other companies to find, you know, PPE, like we said, at the statewide at this point, is ensuring that all hospitals have the proper PPE required to provide care for these patients. And at the same time, ensuring we're providing staff safety is the utmost priority at this point.
All right. Stephanie Yohannan is Vice President for the Emergency Department and Behavioral Health Services at Rush University Medical Center. We also heard from Dr. Ernest Wong, President of the Illinois College of Emergency Physicians. He's also Chief of Emergency Medicine at North Shore University Health System in Evanston. And we heard from Dr. Robert Healy, Chief Quality Officer at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. All of you, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I'm Brian Mackey. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.